I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today is from Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. And as we come to this word, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. You are gracious to us, our Heavenly Father. Today we come back to your word. Fill us with this word of grace. Nourish us by it. Restore us through it, so that we may truly be your family, put together through your willing, gracious, loving heart that we find in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It is an oldie, but a goodie. It is an oldie and a goodie. It is both and. And today we get to dive right into this, the so-called story of the prodigal son. It's the story of the prodigal son because anytime we read it, we as tax collectors, as sinners, those that are mentioned there in that first paragraph, we delight in the vision of restoration. God, our Heavenly Father, in spite of our sins, in spite of our wayward and wild and licentious kind of living that we have done, our bad choices and misdeeds, in spite of anything that clutters with shame and guilt our hearts, God says, my prodigal son, my prodigal daughter, it's time to come home. You will find forgiveness in me. Your place in the family will be reestablished. Your life with me will be restored. This vision of a prodigal son who goes out having stolen from his father this massive part of his estate and squandered it completely. This story of the prodigal son is something that speaks to all of us, whether we are inside the church or outside of it. The story of the prodigal son is universally known. So universally known that even that single odd, awkward word, prodigal, is used frequently throughout our Western-speaking world. Yeah, this story of the prodigal son is something that should animate our hearts in the season of Lent, because this season of Lent is an opportunity for us to again revisit the theme of returning home, of acknowledging that we have a sin problem, that we have chosen unwisely, foolishly, and our lives, apart from God, are a wasteland of experience such that we slop around with the poor pigs, and the poor pigs probably don't want us anywhere near them anyhow. We make them smell worse than they even are. And yet God welcomes us back. This story of the prodigal son is that well known. But there is a rise happening in preaching, and this morning around the world, as this story of the prodigal son is being preached, it may be actually replaced not by the story of the prodigal son, but as you may have heard in another sermon, the story of the son who stayed. Again, looking at that first paragraph, what prompts this parable of the prodigal son is not the tax collectors and sinners so much as the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complaining about Jesus being with such sinful people. And Jesus is not as much speaking to the sinners and tax collectors in order to welcome them back home, but he's speaking a word of condemnation to the sons who stayed behind, who have remained faithful through thick and thin to the Father, working day and night without any party of their own. These Pharisees and teachers of religious law, these are the ones who are under the microscope of Jesus' words. These are the ones who are getting burnt to a crisp as the magnifying glass radiates and focuses the beams of God's holiness upon their critical hearts, their stone-cold souls. This is not as much perhaps a parable of the prodigal son as it is the son who stayed behind, and this is a remonstrance. A rebuke. Who accepts him? And this story is teaching us not just to return to God, but also to welcome those that we find disgusting among us in the Christian church. To realize that as God calls us to go out on mission, the mission to whom we are sent are not people who look like us and smell perfumed and cologned like us, but are people who are different from us, who have been slopping with the pigs that we deem to be disgusting. Yeah, this story in Luke chapter 15, perhaps not so much the story of the prodigal son, but the son who stayed. The question for me to you is this: which story do you need to hear today? Are you a prodigal who's been slopping around, spiritually speaking, with pigs? Squandering your life on licentious, wild living, or even hidden misdeeds, choices, words, thoughts? Or do you find yourself like the son who stayed behind, who in your spirit feels a rising up of self-confidence and self-assuredness as you scan the rest of the world and say, "Thank God I'm not like them"? Are you one who needs to hear this morning, like the son who stayed, that proverb, "Take heed to yourself, lest thinking that somehow you stand, you end up falling hard"? Which sermon do you need today? It really is up to you. It's a parable, you know. And a parable means that there is some degree of mysteriousness. There is some range of interpretive allowance. That's the beauty of what parables are. And parables, by their very definition, keep on throwing stuff alongside our lives. Parabolo, to throw alongside in the Greek language, to throw alongside of our lives a story that helps expand our understanding of the great things that God is in reality doing. How is this parable striking you today? Another option for this oldie and goodie. I'm mindful that at some point in time, this parable party comes to an end. And like any good wedding party, after the reception, you know what my favorite time when I go to a family wedding is? It's not the wedding. It's not even the reception with all the crazy sidlers dancing on the dance floor to all hours of the evening. Picture me out there breaking it down like MC Hammer. The Sidler family loves to dance, but the best thing the Sidler family loves to do is wake up on Sunday morning and go and gather for breakfast around 10 o'clock. And we revisit all the experiences of the wedding. We rehash all the flip-flops and clippity-clops of the reception. It's the day after the party that energizes me the most. And as this parable is thrown alongside of us, maybe another thought for us is to recognize that after the party is over, after the attendants have started cleaning up, after all the guests have gone back to where they came from, ultimately, the day after this party, there are three people that remain: the father and his two sons. And this father with these two sons, now reunited, have some splaining to do to each other. The prodigal son has to explain, what was he thinking? What were you thinking when you did that? What did I teach you growing up? Have you not listened to everything I've said? On the other side, the son who stayed behind has to be confronted with the judgment, not just hearing it now from his father, but seeing again one day added to his life. This is my beloved brother. This is my flesh and blood. He shares a common humanity with me. Therefore, I should not treat him harshly, but with the dignity and respect that he deserves, because he is part of me, and I am part of him. Those two boys have some splaining to do, not only to the father, but to each other. And the father has some splaining to do as well. The father has some explaining to do of why it is that his heart repeatedly, effortlessly, with absolute constancy, is filled with a grace that is willing to risk our disobedience and the making of his graciousness a cheapened graciousness, like the prodigal did, but also to show why that grace, because it is truly grace, can never fade or spoil or perish, but it goes on and on and on for the son who stayed. That must have been some breakfast. Mustn't it have been? That had to have been some lingering conversation over several cups of coffee. And my guess is that wasn't the only day that a conversation like that happened. That there were probably consecutive days of consecutive reckoning and consecutive reconciling that went on in that family unit. And the truth be told, their whole sociology was watching how that went, because that whole sociology knew what that prodigal son had done, how that son who stayed behind had reacted, and how that whole society gathering around that family saw that sheer grace of their father toward both. What sermon do you need today? There is a consequence for prodigal sons. They may be forgiven, but the text seems to indicate clearly the estate no longer belongs to him. He has lost his inheritance. He will stay under the protective umbrella of his father, but he will bear the scars for his sin. The consequence will remain. That's what accountability, even in the kingdom of God, looks like. For the son who stayed behind, he will daily have to see his brother and learn to live with him. And that, if the story be believed, is not going to be an easy thing. Some days easier, some days much, much harder. But the anchor of the whole story is Dad. And that's the grace that we have today, is that when his prodigals or sons faithfully who have Ephesians has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between one son and another and has reconciled the world to himself. And that's where you come into the picture. Bluntly, that's where you come home. So today, as we welcome Roman, this baby boy, into the Lord's family, we reconcile that there will be some days when he is a prodigal and you will forgive him. His brothers and sisters probably won't, but you will. And there will be some times when he will look with judgment as the oldest child on his brothers and sisters, and you will remind him of grace and mercy. And there will be many, many mornings and many evenings where you will gather around the table and you, in your parenting, Tyson, Jacqueline, you will teach what it means to be part of the family of God in your own church, in your own Christian home. Today, that's what we pray for you. For all of us, because our Christian homes are church first. We learn what it means to reckon with the consequences, but it also means that we learn what it looks like to be reconciled to one another and to our Heavenly Father once again. It is an oldie and it is a goodie, and through it we get stores of new things. And that you would attend to this word, this story of the prodigal, the son, the father, throughout the week to come, and that you'd bring this story with you to Holy Communion, and as you bend your knees, you'd also bend your hearts and wrestle with the word that is spoken to you today, knowing that through Jesus, through the perfect Son, you've been reconciled to your Heavenly Father once again. Amen.